Young people, I wanted you to turn, if you would, with me to John, the 6th chapter. I want to read just about 13 verses there, and one in James, and just talk to you a little bit about something I think is good for young people to consider. John, the 6th chapter, you want to read there with me? I think it'd be good. Appreciate it. John 6 and 1, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them, that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread, that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them. Basically, that was about a month's earnings. That every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remaineth over and above unto them that had eaten. And then James, just one chapter here. I want to connect just a thought here in these two passages. James 4. And very familiar, verse 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Now, over here on my left, on the wall over there, someone tell me what that round thing is over there. What? A timepiece. Good. Piece of furniture. Yeah, it's a clock. We are in about 5 hours and, what, 15 minutes, 16? Or 14 minutes, I should say, 5 and 14 minutes. We're going to welcome in a new year, aren't we? And that year will have passed. That year was made up of about 12 months, or it was made up of 12 months, 52 weeks, 365 days. About 8,760 minutes, or in a leap year, 8,784 minutes, or hours, I should say, 525,600 minutes, excuse me, got to read my handwriting, and about 31,536,000 seconds. And you know, the Bible says, young people, that there's coming a day when we'll have to give account of everything that we did while on this earth. Now, what I want to talk to you about just a little while tonight is our use of time, or we might say eternal issues hang on fragments of time. Jesus said in John 6 and 12, when they, the great company, were filled, he, Jesus, said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. And James, the brother of our Lord, said, What is our life? It's a vapor, or it forms very quickly, then it passes for a little time, and then vanisheth away. Eternal issues, or things that pertain to the welfare of our eternity-bound immortal souls, hang on mere fragments of time. Now I want to ask you young people tonight, what are you doing with these fragments? What are you doing with this bit of time? Time's a gift of God. God's given us all time. Some will live 80, 90 years if God blesses them with that amount. Some, not even that much, maybe just 20, 30 years. Only the Lord knows. But it's very, very important that we as youth, I think what's so important about young youth is we're forming habits. And I am very thankful that I was brought up in a very, very strong home, as you all know. And we had a habit on Wednesday, on Sunday, of going to church. And I still have that habit, and I'm thankful for it because it's a privilege that I don't have to wonder what I'm going to do on the Lord's Day or question, and my wife the same way. We don't discuss it. What are we going to do this Sunday? It's just a given. We're going to go to church. And so we as young people are forming habits, and you're forming a wonderful habit of being in the house of God, being in a youth service. I stress to our youth at home, you asked Jamie back there, many times I stress to them the importance of being at youth service. Every Saturday night, someone in the congregation hosts the young people, and we have a youth service. We eat together, and usually myself or one of us speaks to them, and we play games and do nice things together, and we stress the importance of being together. At God's appointed hour, our pastor instituted that occasion many years ago, and I think it's important. Whatever the leaders institute, the services they call for, it's important that we be there. We're forming habits. And I can't think of a better place to be than with the saints of God. And you know, when you're not where you're supposed to be, you're leaving yourself open to the enemy. And so often, you know, people make excuses for not coming to the youth services and not coming to the youth gatherings, and they try to belittle the occasions. And so often it's because they're involved in things they shouldn't be involved in. And young people, the best thing, you know, we're fighting the devil out here. And if we want to be successful in our Christian experience, the best thing we can do is fortify ourselves by gathering together. And there is power in numbers. There's great power and support in numbers. And so gather together and form habits. But I want to just talk to you a little bit about this use of these fragments of time. I believe it's all important how we spend our few short days allotted us here in this life. In Romans, the 13th chapter, verse number 11, it tells us the seriousness of life and how it's so important how we spend every second of every day. Romans 13 and verse number 11 says, "And that knowing the time," knowing what the time is, we're living in the last days, "that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." Jesus said when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain," or the broken pieces that are left over, the bits of time, opportunity, that nothing, no bit of time be lost. See, Jesus was very concerned. He'd filled them to the abundant. But even while he parted with them, he didn't want those. He'd given it to them. But he said, "Now you gather up those fragments that nothing be lost or wasted." And in our companion text, James, our Lord's brother, likened the brevity or briefness of life to a vapor that appears for just a little time and then vanishes away. Now, these two scriptures tell us that Jesus told his disciples, he told them to gather up the fragments that nothing be lost. And James said that how life appears for just a short time and then vanishes away. And the question tonight is, what is lost so soon? I believe it's time. You see, we need to take a look at how we're spending our time and what consumes the fragments of our day when no immediate pressing obligation burdens us. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I've come through youth or childhood and adolescence and the young people time and all that time prior to marriage, and you'll never have any more time in your life than you do right now. Because when you get married and you welcome children into this world, your time will be consumed. You talk to my wife, but many times when I speak Sunday there at home, when my father's away, I always have the Sunday service, and I'll be up late Saturday night, sometimes 2, 3, 4 in the morning studying. But I have a little son who knows that his daddy's burdened and concerned and troubled and trying to seek the mind of God. He sits right there. Many times, way into the middle of the night, he'll be sitting on my lap just trying to keep his eyes open as I'm at my computer typing my message. And many times, I'll go to bed for a couple hours, get back up, study some more, and it won't be too long, and he'll want me to pick him up. And you know, it's so, when you get married, you have kids, it's a wonderful thing, but your time is very, very that you have to yourself is very limited. And so much of my studying these days is with a child on my lap, or it's when they're sleeping, so I'll stay up very late and get up very early because I need that time alone to get with God. But as young people, you're very blessed to have this element of time. And it's so important that you invest it in things that really matter. Don't waste it. Yes, games are fun. You know, youth is a time of game. You know, it's okay to play games. And I think it's good, certainly, as you get together and you associate with one another, play some games. But don't waste all your days playing games. You know, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7:29 that God hath made man upright or righteous, but man sought out many inventions. And if we're not careful, the inventions of our day will waste our time. They'll steal our time. And it's so important. You know, everywhere I go, there at my house, and when I'm in my work, I go into work when I did landscape, and I still do, but when I worked for a large company for many years, I had a Bible everywhere I went. I took my Bible everywhere I went. To school, I was in college for 7 years before I got my degree, and I had my Bible everywhere. And I did my, and I've lived this way. I've done my best, and I saw my father do. He still does it. We don't waste any time. If there's any spare moment, I like to grab something. And if I don't have my Bible there, it's a gospel trumpeter, or it's even a good science book, because you can learn things even picking up a science book that God created. You can read about the intricacies of an animal and then go back to what a great creator we have. But don't waste your days on mindless activities and silly games. Spend your time. And the greatest use of our time is in the Word of God and with the saints of God in worship. Jesus said, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Eternal issues are important topics and problems in life that deal with our eternity-bound souls hang on these fragments of time that Jesus said we're to gather up, that none be lost. Time is the indefinite, unknown, continued progress of existence and events in the past, present, and future regarded as a whole. Time, like death, is no respecter of persons. It waits for no man, regardless of how much money you have and what your status in society is. You can go up there and take the batteries out of that clock, but time still marches on. It's still going to go on. Time is something we can never stop nor bring back. When it has passed, it's passed. The sufficiency, you see, of the miracle that we're looking into here tonight in our text, it didn't mean waste. Jesus didn't give them all those that in abundance that they would waste it. All the leftovers were to be collected, that nothing be lost. One should never waste God's blessings. And time is one of God's blessings. Have you ever heard the statement, young people? Time heals all things. Isn't it amazing how you know, if someone could say something to you, it can really hurt you deeply. Really hurt you. But, you know, days will pass, weeks will pass, and that hurt kind of mends itself, doesn't it? Maybe you talk to someone, talking to someone helps mend it. Maybe you go, you know, you should go to God, you pray about it. But really, time is a great healer of many, many things. And I believe God created it that way. Time is responsible for doing so much good in our lives. It takes time for us to grow. It takes time for us to heal. It takes time for us to learn. Time will also allow for much evil if we choose to carelessly waste it in licentious, loose, immoral, and worldly living. You know, my mind goes to a dear friend of mine. He's much older than I am, but I know him very, very well. We began to become acquainted through a choir we sang in Portland about 11 years ago. And through our friendship there in that choir, I began to do work on his property there, did a bunch of landscaping, and I did for a number of years. But we talked much about the gospel, and he didn't have much. He was out to church a few times. He was raised Seventh-day Adventist and became very cynical with religion, very silly about religion, and didn't have anything to do with religion. And I was aware of some sinful things he was involved with and certainly did my best to witness to him. And I got a phone call about a year ago from an attorney saying, "Don't do any more work on his place. He's in very, very deep trouble." I said, "Well, can you share any more information?" He said, "Well, I can't, but you can go online and look it up." And so I did. I began to inquire. I thought maybe some way I could help him. And I began to inquire, and he was involved in very, very evil immorality. And stood on trial for many, many months, and I just got word from his attorney this week that he's received 25 years in a federal prison. 25 years. He's 53 years old. 25 years because of wasting time and very, very evil things. You know, we can sit lethargically and think, "Oh, it's nothing." We can mess around and we can be silly about life and we can waste time into the internet getting things we shouldn't be involved in. We can play around like we shouldn't be. But those things will catch up to us. The Bible says, Numbers 23, I believe it is 32, be sure your sin will find you out. And it will. And it did. He had very, very many evils on his computer and he was involved in many other things. And it did find him out. And now he's sitting there and I'm going to try and get contact with him. But it's because of wasted time, wasted years. God wants us to gather up those fragments of time that nothing be waste. Time is too valuable and too precious to waste. Statements like, I have some time to kill, or I have some time to burn, or I have a few minutes here to waste, are all most unwise and foolish statements. Now, I'm not sitting here saying, I hope you never made that comment before. No, probably some of you have, and a lot of people do. They say, I have a little time to kill. What should I do? Well, I believe those are unwise statements, and we shouldn't say that. And certainly as we get the knowledge of that, we shouldn't say it. You see, Henry David Thoreau, some of you probably have heard of him, a great writer in the 19th century, and he said, as if you could kill time without injuring eternity. And then another writer said this, men talk of killing time, while time quietly kills them. And it's true. Amen. When you think of how short our lifespan is here on this earth, it ought to make us stop and consider how we can best make every second of our day count for Jesus. And I like what Barney E. Warren said, every hour for Jesus shall my motto be. There's plenty of work, amen, we may do. We may all keep busy till the Lord we see, till he comes for his faithful few. Every hour for the Lord, every hour for the Lord let us spend. Every hour for Jesus till he comes again, when the labor of life shall end. There was a Scotch botanist, or one that studies plants, who went forth into a field one day, one bright sunny day, to study his favorite flowers. And he plucked a heather bell and put it up upon a glass of his microscope, or the glass of his microscope. He stretched himself at length upon the ground and began to scrutinize it through the microscope. Moment after moment passed, and still he lay there gazing, entranced by the beauty of the little flower. Suddenly a shadow fell upon the ground where he lay. Looking up, he saw a tall, weather-beaten shepherd gazing down with a smile of half-concealed amusement at a man spending his time looking through a glass at so common a thing as heather bell. Without a word, the botanist reached up and handed the shepherd the microscope. He placed it to his eye and began to gaze. For him, too, moment after moment sped by while he gazed in enraptured silence. When he handed back the glass, the botanist noticed that the tears were streaming down his bronze cheeks and falling on the ground at his feet. What's the matter? Said the botanist. Isn't it beautiful? Beautiful, said the shepherd. It is beautiful beyond all words. But I'm thinking of how many thousands of them I have trodden underfoot. You see, priceless opportunities pass. We can lose them. We trample upon them, and they're lost forever. Every second of our day, we want to make it count for Christ. And there's an old Arabian proverb that says, four things come not back. The spoken word, the sped arrow, the past life, and the neglected or lost opportunity. You see, time is something we can never retrieve once it passes. Today will never again be today. Tomorrow it will be but yesterday. And yesterday, today was but tomorrow. Should we choose to put off the needs, responsibilities, and duties God would have us to do today, tomorrow they will be at best spoiled opportunities. Instant obedience, I believe, is the only way to true obedience. Delayed obedience is really disobedience. And it's so important, young people, as we go through our days, that we ask God, what would you have me? You know, Lord, I have 5 minutes right now. How could I best use that 5 minutes? I don't know about you, but sometimes I struggle. And one thing I'm working on is writing more cards and letters, putting out more thank you cards and more letters of appreciation, because that means a lot. You know, I mean, how many have received that? Probably all of us have at some point. It meant a lot. And for me, it just seems like a big task to sit down and have to write out a card. And I guess I'm a perfectionist, and so I always feel like I won't have quite the right words to say, and I just leave it and I do something else. But you know, if we have 5 or 10 minutes, those 5 or 10 minutes could really prove to be very advantageous if we spent them in maybe a simple letter or a card to somebody. Just take out a short little piece of paper, find it there in your Bible or wherever, borrow a piece, have a piece, and write a little note and say, you know, you looked a little down today. I want you to know I appreciate you. You can buy up opportunities that way. And it really means a lot. Jesus said, gather up those fragments, that nothing be lost. I believe, dear ones tonight, young people, that these eternal issues we're dealing with hang on these fragments of time. Proverbs 10:5 says, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son. And I believe youth is a summer. It's a time for gathering knowledge. It's time for the formation of habits, for the knitting of the thews and sinews of character, our godly character. Youth who improve their opportunities, who are diligent in the summer gathering for winter's need, will come up to the responsibilities of their latter years of prepared to accept them and meet them with honor. Because of the Apostle Paul's tremendous dedication and determination in his youth, we can read about in Galatians, even before he met the Lord, he was a determined young man. He was greatly honored by those about him in his closing years of life. Those who would shine as God's fairest children must have no wasted years. Amen. All of us must work to garner, store up this time. The man who excels in the world of music is he or she who from childhood has yielded to the wizardry, amen, of musical performance, the daily work, the lessons. The man who figures prominently in the world of letters is he whose brain was disciplined in his school days. He who excels in godliness is he who in the springtime of his career was obedient to the heavenly vision. Early on God's altar in youth springtime, we can master the music of the everlasting city, learn the dialect of the king's country, graduate in divine wisdom, become proficient in spiritual knowledge, adept in the things of grace. A youth time diligently improved prepares one for whatever may come in the stern days of mature years. Let us not let one fragment of the precious gift of life and time be wasted. Now, we all have some leisure moments throughout our day. Would you all agree? And again, I say, especially in youth, in your time of youth, you have many times throughout the day, leisure moments. We have 10, 20, 60 minutes during which no urgent duty demands our attention. Such moments are most numerous in youth. How shall they be used? Not aimlessly. Time is far too valuable for that. There's an inscription on the dial of All Saints in Oxford that says this: the hours perish and are laid to our charge. Amen. Think about that for a moment. As I pointed you to that clock, it's fleeting. As a songwriter said, time is now fleeting. The hours are passing. Amen. And they surely are. And they will be laid to our charge. Young people tonight, you could never go wrong spending that time in God's Word. The Word, the psalmist said, thy Word have I hidden my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And I believe David took the Word of God everywhere he went. Certainly didn't have it as we have it today. But you and I today have the Word of God we can take with us everywhere. And in those leisure moments, you'll never waste a second of that leisure moment by spending it in the Word of God. I'm going to tell you what, from experience, how much this has proved to be of help to me down through my life to have the Word of God stored up in here and stored up in here. Yeah. Because as I talk to many out there in the college scene, and as I've gone through different situations, to have that Word stored up in my heart has proved to be a real foundation. Yeah. Because even adults twice my age, when I hear them bring things, and in my mind, it goes to Scripture and say, wait a minute, that's not quite right. It's proved to be a real security and foundation for me. Amen. To have that word of God stored up so I can decipher what's right. Amen. Not who's right, but what is really right. It's so important that we have the word in our heart. Ecclesiastes 12 and 14, the last words of Solomon were, "For God shall bring every work into judgment." And what a sobering thought that is, to think every action we act, every word we speak, every thought we think, every work will appear before us in the judgment. We will have to answer, Jesus said in Matthew the 12th chapter, for every idle or vain, frivolous word we speak. So we must be very careful what we say. The Bible goes on to say in Ecclesiastes 12th chapter, with every secret thing, amen, whether it be good or whether it be evil. We will all have to give an account of how we spent our time. Amen. I think about a company, and at the year's end, as I already said, here we approach the new year. And many companies have what they call a company audit. And those managers and those in authority in that, within that company have to begin to give an account of what was wrought throughout that year. What did you do? How much did you gain this year? Did we go in more debt? Or did we make some profit this year? How many were hired? How many were fired? What kind of production do we have? And they go right down the list. And I believe you and I tonight, certainly on that great judgment day, well, you and I tonight can take an account of our own lives. What did we do last year? How did we spend our time? Was it spent in good, wholesome activities and reading God's word? Or did we waste it on frivolous and loose activities? Your life work is recorded. Every detail, every phase, an unseen pen is writing out the story of your days. How will your life read? How will your story end? You know, there's a song that says, "Each day I'll do, each day I'll do a golden deed. By helping those who are in need, my life on earth is but a span. So I'm going to do the best I can. To be a child of God each day, my light must shine along the way. I'll sing his praise while ages roll and strive to help some troubled soul. The only life that will endure is one that's kind and good and pure. And so for God, I'll take my stand. Each day, I'll lend a helping hand. I'll help someone in time of need and journey on with rapid speed. I'll help the sick and poor and weak and words of kindness to them speak. While going down life's weary road, I'll try to help some traveler's load. I'll try to turn the night to day, make flowers bloom along the way. Life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done where there will be no setting sun." There's a poem that says, "I shall not pass this way again." And it reads, "I shall not pass this way again. I expect to pass through this world but once. Any good thing therefore that I can do, or any kindness that I can show to any fellow creature, let me do it now. Let me not defer or neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again." Jesus said in our text, John 6 and 12, "Gather up the fragments of what?" We're talking about time tonight. "Gather up the fragments of time that remain, that nothing, no time, amen, no opportunities be lost." I want to read that in the Amplified Bible. It says, "And when they had enough, he said to his disciples, 'Gather up now the fragments of the broken pieces that are left over, so that nothing may be lost and wasted.'" Amen. Dear ones, young people tonight, I want to encourage you to put all the time that you have, all these leisure moments that you're not have pressing obligations, whether it be work, whether it be homework, your studies at college or at high school, whatever grade you may be in, or whatever part of youth you may be in, maybe you're in college, or maybe you're out of college, you're working at this point. When you don't have the pressing obligations or those things that are needful, be very careful with those leisurely moments. Don't waste them. Again, I say, take in your possession the Bible. Take in your possession some good books. The Bible or the bookstore, Bible bookstore. The bookstore over there is full of wonderful literature. Get as much of that literature as you can. Stick it in your pockets. I have to kind of chuckle at Brother Bender. You all know who Brother Bender is? The brother that's with us, the older brother, because he loves material and he's got pamphlets and, and little books here and here and there and all in his satchels and books and all over the place. And he puts it out. He puts it out all over. It's really beautiful. But young people, take lots of that literature. And when you have a moment, when you're at your house, when you're going to school, and you're in between classes, I did this all the time. I had my Bible. I had Gospel Trumpeters. I had other books. Take it out. Don't sit and just waste time. Yes, witness. But you know, having your Bible out like that's a good witness. And many times people start to ask you questions. That's a wonderful opportunity. Don't waste any moment. Feed this mind. Amen. You've all been given a wonderful instrument. And it's right here. Don't waste it. Amen. Fill it with good things. I want to read you a poem I wrote a while ago, and I'm going to just finish up here. And it says, how will you spend today? And I want you to think about this. We have this day, but 24 hours. How will you spend each one of these hours? Will they be used to further his cause, or tragically wasted seeking man's applause? We must give an account of each deed we do, whether it be noble or evil through and through. The things that you engage in, the different games you play, do they fortify your Christian influence or weaken your good name? In all of your activities, does the life of Christ appear? By your response to those about you and by the souls you help to cheer. Make each second count for Christ by filling it with good words of praise and kind deeds, living as Jesus would. May each fleeting moment of this present day at hand be consumed with eternal issues and not with earthly plans. How will you spend today? How will you spend this hour? Will you let the Lord direct, or will your time the world devour? Young people, again, the thought tonight is eternal issues hang on fragments of time. What are you doing with those fragments? Let me just give you a few ways here that you can use these fragments, and I'll let you go. Everyone should carry a Bible. It would be wise to carry a notepad too and jot down some words or thoughts that come to mind while meditating and studying God's Word throughout the day. Take out a little notebook and a pen and jot down those thoughts. Maybe questions that come to mind. Make a detailed list of all God has done for you this week and things you're especially thankful for. And then stand up on Sunday in youth service and tell others about it. It might also be good to carry a good wholesome book or periodical like the Gospel Trumpeter. Then if you have some moments left after working on all that during your fragments of time throughout your day, listen to some good wholesome church music. Certainly, while you are driving, you can meditate by leaving the radio off altogether, or turn it on and put a good church CD in and meditate on that. Talking about how to use these fragments of time. Other ways to use these fragments of time: witness, help someone, give a ride, or prepare a meal, speak, teach, sing at a rest home, write a song, write a poem, write a letter, send a thank you card, a card of appreciation, as we already talked about, make a phone call to encourage someone, and certainly much time should be spent in prayer. Busy yourself in the work of God. As you all do so beautifully here at God's Acres, you all work so beautifully together. Amen. We only have one life, young people. Don't waste your time on careless activities. Yes, certain activities and, you know, a little bit of sports maybe and getting out there and running around, that's, you know, good. It's good. Exercise is profitable a little bit, the Bible says, but it's profitable. But more than anything, don't waste it on sinful things. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your life. Invest. You know what? When you invest your time in the things of God, you always get those investments back, and you get them in such big, greater folds than what you put in to begin with. But many things you invest in the world, you lose them. And so be very, very careful of your time. Again, I say people talk about killing time as if you could. But the fact of the matter is, time's quietly killing them. We need to be very, very careful. You know, too, I thought, just quickly here, many people say, there's just not enough hours in a day. And I don't have time to deal with that. I certainly could. But, you know, since the dawn of humanity, God's instituted a 24-hour day. It's always been that way. And Fanny Crosby, who wrote over, I think, 8,000 hymns, had the same 24 hours that you and I have today. D.S. Warner, who went out and established more Church of God than any of us know about, amen, had the same 24 hours that you and I have. J.S. Bach wrote some 1,000 compositions had the same 24 hours that you and I had. So I don't believe that we don't have enough time. I believe we busy ourselves in things we shouldn't busy ourselves, and we waste our time. It's just something to think about. You know, so often people say, oh, I just don't have enough time. There's not enough time in a day. No, God instituted the day, and he said that we have 24 hours, and that's enough. Now let's rearrange our activities so we're involved in things we should be involved in. Let's get some things done for Christ. Let's write some songs, write some poems, visit some people, and be all God would have us to be. I appreciate all young people.